And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we've got some secrets for you. Once a month, we have a volume of secrets. And today, I guess, is a special occasion because that's number 200, Jerry. Jerry's over there at the microphone, pressing around those little buttons and needles things here in the studio. 200th secrets today. We have covered the whole world waterfront of things, haven't we, over the years? 200, one a month. And today's is really going to be significant. Well, the environmentalists, they're running for shelter. But Al Gore still says climate change and global warming are here. Even though, you know, we're into springtime and it's winter up in the Midwest still. They still have snow up there. But he says global warming is here. Well, we'll talk about that. Hey, the United States is now oil independent. In fact, did you know that our usage of oil is down 15% this year? Well, we'll talk about that as well. China's economy is slipping. China's economy is beginning to severely slip. It's going backwards. Well, Rolling Stone. Rolling Stone magazine. A lot of people don't read that, and I can understand why. You know, it has a lot of articles about rock music personalities. It's always on, it's on every newsstand and every bookstore. Rolling Stone magazine. Well, they've got an interesting article, and so I finally bought a copy of Rolling Stone magazine. I guess I've been corrupted, Jerry, but it had a great article in there of Rolling Stone. I'll tell you about it. It's about a conspiracy, and we're going to talk about that. We've just got so much today. We're packed up. What do you think about dual loyalty citizens? You know, millions of Jews say, well, we're citizens of Israel and the United States at the same time. That's divided loyalty, I think, but we'll talk about that as well. Then, well, we'll talk about gays. Gays. I just call them queers. That's what they call themselves, queer. It's not derogatory, but if it is, I'm not going to apologize for it. They're just sort of queer. They're odd. And they're against God. They're against God's word. I know it's becoming popular today. I don't really care about popularity. I really don't. I don't give one hoot for it. So we'll discuss it today. And Tim Tebow, I got somebody that criticized me. They said I shouldn't have said what I said about Tim Tebow last month. Well, I'll tell you again what I said. I'll just repeat it. And I'll also tell you why I said it. I like people that write to me, even though they're wrong. I enjoy reading their letters. Let's just get right with it. We've got so much here to do. Hey, there's a new survey out now. A new survey that sort of stunned a lot of people. You know, we've had the Boston bombers. And we also had 9/11. The Boston bombers. The Sandy Hook incident. And you would think everybody just screaming, oh, please save us. Almighty government, protect us from the terrorist. Instead, a new survey, a new poll, shows that more people fear the government than fear terrorism. Isn't that astonishing? There are more people out there that are fearful of our own government than are fearful of terrorism. I can understand that. I mean, you know, how long has it been, 2001, that we had 9/11? That's 12 years ago. 3,000 died there. Let's say it really was terrorism, although it wasn't. It was the Israeli Mossad working with rogue American units that did it. But even if it was terrorism, that was 3,000 people in over a decade. Well, hey, 50,000 die every year from automobile accidents. Don't drive anymore. Be mighty for when you get out there on that road every morning. Be very afraid. Be scared. 50,000 have died. I mean, I think you could probably be more likely to be hit by some meteorite or some big rock from outer space in a terrorist accident or incident, I should say. If you're worried about a terrorist incident, don't worry about it that much. Don't worry about it that much. You're more likely to be killed by an automobile today. You're more likely to fall in your bathtub and kill yourself, hit your head, fall down the stairs. So people are getting a little smart. By the way, they said that we did this same study 10 years ago, and the results were just the other way around. More people were afraid of terrorism than their government. But today, more and more people are discovering what their government really is, a corrupt, evil system. I'm going to tell you just how corrupt the government is today. Because I'm angry. Say, now, Tex, that's not Christian. Tex, don't get angry. Why, our Christian pastor, he's calm and easygoing, and he never gets too, you know, shook up. He's such a nice person. Why aren't you a nice guy? Well, my mama thinks I'm a nice guy. My wife, well, she sometimes thinks I'm a nice guy. The people here at the office, I don't know. Jerry's, he says he's doing his hand like this, you know, like, well, maybe a little bit. You're nice. And I come on out, Jerry. Oh, well, let me write that down. Jerry said on this date that, no, I won't do that. But a lot of people say I'm nice, but should I really be hard on people? I think so. You know, when people write to me and say, why aren't you a nice guy? You know, you're such a meanie. I remind them of what Jesus said and did. I mean, the concept of being nice or mean, I mean, never even occurred to Jesus. He was just Christ Jesus. He was himself. And when he went in the temple and saw what they were doing, they were exchanging money. They had many foreign peoples coming there. They were exchanging money and all kind of things. They were also selling birds. Say, why would they be selling birds in the temple? Well, you know, people would buy those birds and let them go free. Well, why would they do that? Well, they thought they were letting their sins fly away. That's really what the Jews thought. You know, they would sin. Well, they would let one of the birds fly away. They'd open the cage and it would fly away. And that was atonement. You know, they had junk like that they were offering in the temples. And Jesus said, you people, you know, my Father's house, the temple, is a house of worship. But you've made it into a den of thieves. Of course, they were cheating a little bit on their money exchange too, weren't they, obviously? A den of thieves. Then he got him a whip and he whipped them. And he turned over their tables. I mean, that's horrible. That probably was some kind of a hate crime. Wasn't it? Can you imagine somebody goes in a church today and just throws over the tables and gets a whip and starts whipping on them? Boy, you can't just get a whip and start beating people. Jesus was just a meanie, wasn't he? No. Christ Jesus was just Jesus. And you know, you folks out there, you know, I read a lot about men who write to me and say, I'm one of these hardcore fundamentalists. you know, my kids and my wife do what I say. Okay, but now if you get to the point where you start beating, you start abusing, I think you're in big trouble. Jesus might just start beating you, buddy. You know, I'm just that kind of guy. I don't know, you know. But there are a lot of things that make me angry. One of them is all the money that Al Gore, former vice president and presidential candidate, is getting speaking to stupid people and telling them we have global warming we got to watch out for. Now, it's a whole scam because he's involved in these corporations that definitely want us to do what they call the cap tax. It's a tax on every vehicle, every combustion motor in the world. We've got to, and in the nations that have these things, we've got to pay more. And they're going to have these corporations set up to take the taxes in, and then you can sell your credits. You get so many credits if you don't use this kind of engine or whatever. Of course, there's also Agenda 21. Where they want to control everyone's land, everyone's property. I mean, they got to save Mother Earth. The environmentalists are running scared, though. Al Gore, I'm sure, doesn't like it at all. Because for 13 straight years, the world has been cooling. And with each year that passes, these environmentalists that have been claiming climate change and global warming are embarrassed. There is no global warming. There's only global cooling. And they doped up. They fudged all the statistics. We know that now. Then it came out that the head of the United Nations Environmental Program, the most powerful and influential group in the world, turns out the guy doesn't even have a college degree in weather or the environment. He's some dude, I think, from India or whatever. Doesn't even know what he's doing. All of this was built to make you and me believe the fear mongers. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. And everything I saw the guy. They had a big World Environmental Conference some years ago, and there was a guy that got up. He was the prime minister of, I believe it was Fiji, the island republic. And he got up and he spoke to the group and he started crying. My island is going to be submerged in water by the year 2000 through global warming. He says the North Pole is melting. There's no ice, and all that ice is going into water, and it's expanding the ocean. And by the year 2000, by the way, this was about 1992. By the year 2000, we won't even have an island. We'll all be drowned, or they'll have to take us away, our homes. Oh, woe is us. And I was just sitting there enjoying it. I just enjoyed that moron and what he was saying. Now, friends, if you want to go to Fiji today, and I understand a lot of tourists do, you can still go there. They haven't lost one inch of their beach. They're the Fiji Islanders. Hawaii is still there. Okinawa, all the islands are still around. Bermuda, the Cayman Islands, you know, all these islands. Go to any island you want to in the Caribbean, Aruba, whatever. You're going to find that things are just the way they were. And they'll be that way in another 100 years if Jesus tarries. Why? Because we're in a period now of global cooling. Now, a lot of the environmentalists are catching on to this. Their lies didn't work. And now they don't know what to do with themselves. And some of them are getting together saying, well, maybe we were mistaken. Maybe. And now I think we're going to have to worry about global cooling. Yes, the world is going to end. It's global cooling. And now they're beginning to scream, global cooling. Now I think slowly you're going to hear about that. That's why they changed it from global warming to climate change. so they could facilitate this change. They're going to have to make a change. 13 straight years of temperatures dropping. Now, friends, listen to me very carefully. The North Pole, they say, and they lie, but they say that it is melting slightly. Now, some are really, they say by 2050, there'll be no North Pole, 2050. Now, there's the South Pole. You see, on each pole of the Earth, there's a pole. You know, there's a huge landmass that's mostly ice. Antarctica, the South Pole is just covered with ice. Now, the South Pole is 10 times as large as the North Pole. It is. It's huge down there. All ice. 10 times as large. And guess what? It's growing. It gets bigger every year. Scientists have no explanation for it. The North Pole, which is only one-tenth the size of the South Pole, is contracting, is getting smaller. But the North Pole is actually growing. And it reminds me a little bit of the desert, the Sahara Desert. Because when I was in my 20s, I read articles about the Sahara Desert was beginning to take over Africa. Every year they said it takes 3 or 4 feet. And by, you know, a certain year, let's say the year 2000, this was, you know, about 1970. In 30 more years or so, they said, it will take over all of North Africa, Morocco, Libya, Egypt. Everything will be nothing but the Sahara Desert. And it's all because of mankind. It's because we've destroyed the earth, and now we're causing this horrible global warming. And you know what? I read that and I thought, wow, that's interesting. Sahara Desert is going to take over all those countries up there. You know, Ethiopia and Egypt, Morocco, all that. Wow. Well, suddenly about 10 years later, it stopped. It stopped growing and it started receding. Then I read an article that said they don't know why, but it's the Sahara Desert is beginning to shrink. So it gets a little bit larger, it shrinks. It gets a little larger, it shrinks. That's just human nature, friends. That's the way it goes. As a human nature, it's geography. And then we were told about the ozone layer. Remember Al Gore told us about that? In 10 to 15 years, the ozone hole keeps growing. There's a hole up there in the ozone. It keeps growing because of global warming. We're putting out all these gases and you're using air conditioning. Freon. That's what did it. All of your air conditioning units. You evil people that are using air conditioning, you're sending this stuff up. And guess what? It's burning a big old hole in the ozone. You know, they even call him the ozone man. But you don't hear about ozone anymore. Guess what, folks? Suddenly the ozone hole started closing up. Close up. Now there's no hole at all. There's no ozone problem. There used to be ozone days right here in Austin, Texas. Don't run your car. Stay home on this day. The cancer's going to get to us. The sun will get all of us. It'll come through the hole and it'll burn you alive. But now the hole has started closing up. You know, Al Gore never mentioned that. He never told you, did he, that the ozone hole closed up. Friends, this is a big fear thing. But the environmentalists are now beginning to run for cover. And they're wondering what they realize that people are going to get upset when they discover they've been lying. So they're going to try to call it climate change. You know, climate change. And they can't wait for summer to get here so they can say it's global warming for sure. It's 100 degrees out there here in Arizona. Well, it was last year and the year before too. Anyway, back to this oil thing. Remember, I was the first one to tell you that. Had that radio show and that audio tape called Planet Petroleum. Oh, the world is going to end. America is at peak oil. We're using up all our oil. Now we're having to get 40% of our oil from foreigners, you know, Saudi Arabia and all that. Pretty soon it's going to be 50%, 60%, 80%. We're running out of oil. After all, it's a fossil fuel. It's the fossils. Now, they actually claimed all the dinosaurs in the world died, and they decomposed and turned to oil. And that's anywhere you drill an oil well, you find, if you find oil, that's dinosaurs were there. I always thought that was sort of stupid. There's not enough oil, not enough dinosaurs that ever exist in the whole world for all the oil. I thought that was stupid. I mean, if you take one oil well, spread out all the oil, take up miles and miles. Think of what BP did in the Gulf of Mexico when they had a big oil spill down there. How many square miles? How did the dinosaurs get to the bottom of the sea?
Well, that was before the sea. You have to understand how the fossils work.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, friends, you, my audience, you're 100 times smarter than these stupid, unwashed environmentalist masses. The Sierra Club, the Nature Conservancy, Earth First, all of these idiots out there. They believe whatever they're told by the Al Gores. You know, Al Gore, he never became an attorney because he never could pass his bar exam. Did you know that? He never could pass his bar exam. He wasn't smart enough. But he's smart enough to tell the whole world that the world's going to end real soon from global warming. After I've made my millions, it's going to end. That's we're not using as much gas and oil as we did. They're making cars more efficient. They're making engines, all of the engines, more efficient. And now we're using much less oil and gas, and we're producing more, so we're independent. They don't know what they're going to do with all this. Now, Obama is trying to keep it away from the rest of the world. They're not giving out licenses for us to export this oil and gas mainly. Now, think about it. You got all this gas, you know, millions and millions of cubic feet of spare gas. And America is now 100% independent, which is great. That's the only way our economy is keeping up today. We have all this unemployment, and that's with 100% oil independence. Now, we should start selling this to the rest of the world. Saudi Arabia sells theirs. Red China really has a good deal. Remember in my video, Die America Die, I told you about Red China. We went in and invaded Iraq for Red China. I know that sounds crazy. And for Israel. First of all, Iraq became the possession of Israel. Israel runs Iraq now. The puppets there all work for Israel. Meanwhile, all the oil of Iraq is going, 80% of it is going to Red China. Google up the word, Google up Iraq, oil, China. And here's what you're going to find, friends. Here's what you're going to find. That the Chinese oil company gets 80% of the oil of Iraq. That's right. 80% of the oil. All of the oil of Iraq, they have three huge pipelines. One goes to the Persian Gulf, but two of them go across Israel and southern Lebanon. They go to the Mediterranean off the coast of Israel, and all the oil from Iraq is loaded onto BP, that's right, BP Oil Company, owned by Rothschild, a Jew. He takes all the oil in these huge tankers over where to? Red China. Because China and BP have a contract with Iraq arranged by the United States government, George W. and Dick Cheney. And they're getting the oil for a stupendous $2 a barrel. They're paying $2 for oil. They ship it to Red China, and then China sends it out at $90 to $115 a barrel. Now, friends, if you can get oil for $2 a barrel and sell it for $115 or $100 or $90 even, you're doing great. That's Red China. That's what's kept Red China's economy alive. They're not selling products anywhere anymore. The recession is here. They can't sell their products to Europe. Europe cannot afford them. Even the United States, people can't afford stuff from Red China. But they've been making all this money in oil and gas. Where'd they get the oil and gas from? Iraq. Who arranged that for them? The United States. And Iraq is getting nothing. The people there are just dirt poor. They're only getting $2 a barrel for their oil. $2 from the Red Chinese. Why doesn't America get that oil? Why don't we get it at $2? Well, we don't need it, but we can sell it. That's what Red China does. Now, listen to this, folks. We sell our gas, our natural gas. Now, they sell it, I forget just how much, but it's by cubic feet. And right now, you can go and check. It's $2 or so, around $2 for X number of cubic feet of natural gas. $2. The world market price is now $10. Japan must have natural gas. They have discontinued all of their nuclear plants in Japan after Fukushima. And they've got to have this natural gas, and they're buying it from where? Red China. At $8 and $10 a cubic feet. They can buy it from the United States for just $2 if we could sell it to them. But you see, you can't just sell oil and gas in the world market. You've got to get approval from the Obama administration. And Obama tells all the oil and gas companies in America, no, I don't want you selling it to those foreigners. Well, why not? We've got plenty. We've got a surplus. Well, I just don't want you to. They don't give any excuse. They just don't give them an export license. Do you know what's happening? George W. Bush and Barack Obama have arranged with Red China for Red China to become rich by selling oil they get from Iraq to the whole world. Why doesn't Iraq sell it themselves and increase the economy of that country? Because we conquered them. They don't get anything. They don't get dirt from the United States. But Red China, that's our pal. I mean, Obama's a communist, and George W. was no better. George W. and Dick Cheney arranged all this thing. The Secretary of the Treasury was Henry Paulson of Goldman Sachs. It's a Goldman Sachs banking deal. Crooked, corrupt. But guess what? Red China's our pal. Red China's our friend. Well, you'd be a friend too if you bought oil and gas at $2 and sold it at $100. No wonder Red China loves the United States. Our oil and gas people are not getting the money, but Red China is. Thank you, Barack Obama. You ripping off the American taxpayer and giving billions of dollars to Red China. But now Red China can't even sell all the oil and gas they've got. The rest of the world is not using as much oil and gas as they were. So Red China's economy is beginning to slip, even with all of the billions they're getting from Iraq's oil and gas. China's economy is slipping. America's is doing better, not because Obama's so brilliant, but because the oil men, the little oil men particularly, went out and found the oil and gas. They fought. They have to continually fight the environmentalists, but they did. And good old American ingenuity has brought us up once again. Let's take a quick break. Got to take a break here. It's wonderful being with you. I've got so much more to tell you. Stay with us, won't you? I want to be sure and tell you about that Rolling Stone article. Boy, it's a dilly. I'll be right back after this brief message. I'm Tex Mars. Hello, folks. Tex Mars again here. It is here. Our new book, Robot Alchemy. Androids, cyborgs, and the magic of artificial life. Yeah, it just came in by truck yesterday, and we've got it to ship out. Folks, if you already ordered this book, well, you're going to be getting your copy in the mail. As soon as the mail people, you know, work it, we've already done our job and got it out. But you can call in right now today and get it, you know, and order this book. It's an amazing book. You know, this book has hundreds of mostly color photographs. My first color book. It's the first color book. Incredible photos. You won't believe the robots. And this book is just astonishing. And it takes you, my friends, on a thrilling excursion across the robot galaxy. Now, we're not just interested in robots because, well, we love the big old metallic clunky things. And they're, you know, everybody sort of gets a smile on their face when they see a robot. And since time immemorial, humans have sought to build artificial creatures that move and talk. You're going to discover many of these fantastic creations in this book. But wait just a minute, friends. You're also going to see depicted a startling future. A startling future. There's never been a book like this. This book tells you the end result of the robot revolution. You know, the robot revolution has really been going on about 45 years. I personally wrote the first book on personal robots. First book in the whole world. It was called The Personal Robot Book. You can see it maybe find it at Amazon.com, out of print edition. But it's no longer for sale because I wrote it in 1985. I said, you know, eventually everybody's going to have their own home robot. And I there are all kind of pictures in it and such in that book. People thought it was really foresighted. The Personal Robot Book by Tex Mars. I also wrote another book, the first book ever written on careers and jobs with robots. I wrote it back in, I think, 1987 or 86, somewhere around there. And then I wrote The Great Robot Book, it's called. I wrote that book. Now, I've spent a long time away from robots. I've been keeping my eyes on them. I've been keeping my eyes on robots. But I've been busy, as you know, writing about 40 other books, very important books, Codex Magica, Mysterious Monuments, Circle of Intrigue, and so forth. But I never got robots out of my mind. I always thought robots are a combination of funny, interesting things and horror, even terror. And friends, now the roboticists themselves, they too are beginning to warn people. Maybe they're creating a monster. The future is simply this, that as robotic life thrives, and robots, they are alive, friends. Oh, they don't have as much intelligence as you and I do. But some will really shock you. You know, a gentleman, Mr. Levi, wrote a book called Sex and Robots. He says in about 20 years, 15 or 20 years, people will be buying robots and they'll be so lifelike, so realistic. I mean, they'll talk with them and converse with them, and their skin will feel like ours, and they'll look, I mean, you could buy one, it'll be as pretty as any movie star. And people will start having sex with them. Well, that sounds sort of fantastic, but now people, they even get engaged and have relationships on the internet. You can imagine if they had, you know, pay $5,000 or $6,000 and get a real robot. A robot that in 20 years, perhaps you will not even be able to distinguish between a robot and a real person. Did you see the movie, The Stepford Wives? That was a little far out, but well, we're reaching that stage. Robots are going to prosper as human life quickly vanishes and fades away. Vernon Venge is a mathematician, a well-known mathematician from California. In 1993, he wrote a book, and he invented the word singularity. Now, Dr. Venge said, he said, in about 30 years, and what's that, 20 years ago? In 30 years, robots will be very intelligent. They'll surpass human beings in their abilities to think and act. The human era will then be ended. Say what? The human era will be ended? That's what he says. Because when the age of singularity is reached, when that time, that's the age when robots will surpass us in capability. They'll outwork you. They'll outthink you. They'll outsmart you. Their intelligence will be so high, it'll be incredible. You won't even be able to think like they do. Dr. Paul Sappho of Stanford University says it's going to get very soon, and he says another 20 years or so, robots will be so intelligent that if we're lucky as human beings, they'll treat us as pets. They'll treat you as a pet. If we're not lucky, he said, they will eat you. Well, that is enough to shock you. Robots eating people. Well, the military has actually developed a robot now called the Eater Robot, and it can eat people. Doesn't need gas and all. You get sticks, limbs off of trees, feed it. Needs more fuel? Well, here's a dead body for you. It's a zombie robot, and the military has developed it. And, of course, drones. Drones are robots. I want you to get this. It's the first book of its kind. There are women robots. They're building them in Japan and other countries that look exactly like women. And Philip K. Dick, the famous science fiction writer, Hanson Robotics has built a robot that is exactly like him. It looks just like him. And they even interviewed it recently. They had an interview with Philip K. Dick, but not Mr. Dick, of course. It was his cyborg or his robot. All right. Now, here's what I'd like you to do, friends. You've got to have this book. Will Robots Take Over the World? It's called Robot Alchemy. Alchemy means witchcraft, occult secrets. Robot Alchemy. It's $35, but we're offering it for $30 here in the ministry. $30. It's a big, beautiful book. You know how Tex Mars's books are. They're large format. And it has all these color photos in it, so that costs us quite a bit. But I wanted you to see the reality of these things. Again, it's $30. Please add $5 shipping and handling. Ask for the book, Robot Alchemy. You can write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, and get the book. Or you can phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Ask for Robot Alchemy. I pray you'll get this book. You know, we haven't got much time before singularity. This is galloping ahead. The future is right ahead, folks. And I believe the government, Big Brother government, is using robots right now. And I have a whole section in here about military robots to conquer. Big Brother's robots. Wow. Just get this book. Robot Alchemy. $30 plus $5 shipping and handling. And we'll send it out right away to you. All right. Now let's return to our regular program. Hey, what do you think about dual citizens? You know, Sheldon Adelson, he gave, millions of dollars in the last presidential contest. He's a big casino mogul on Las Vegas. He also owns a big casino in Red China, a big gambling casino. Sheldon Adelson. But he said, I'm also a citizen of Israel, Mr. Adelson said. And he said, frankly, I prefer my Israeli citizenship. Really? Well, Rahm Emanuel was White House Chief of Staff, but he was also a citizen of Israel and had even served in their military. Now, anybody who serves in a foreign military, he's not even an American. He's not even an American anymore. Rahm Emanuel did, and he became White House Chief of Staff. I read a survey one time where it said that the majority of Jews in the United States consider themselves citizens of Israel. Well, then why don't they go there? That's incredible. Hey, people keep talking about homosexuality being accepted now. Who with? has anybody ever asked you, do you accept homosexuality? I've never had a poll taker. I wish I would. Here's what it says in Leviticus in the Old Testament. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. They shall surely be put to death. Friends, this, you know, RG3, the famous football star from Baylor, he won the Heisman Trophy a year and a half ago. He's now with the Washington Redskins. Robert Griffin, RG, he was asked about homosexuality in professional sports, and he said that political correctness is so bad today that it's become a tyranny. Now they're beginning to punish anyone who doesn't agree that homosexuality is not only okay, but you've got to have it everywhere. It's in all the movies and the TV programs, and it's just they want it to sink into your head. They want to teach it to your kids at elementary school level. And they don't really want to have gay marriage. The gays want to destroy marriage entirely. That's what it's all about. They are rebelling against God because God, this is the system that he created. And Jesus was asked about divorce. And he said that God intended for a man and a woman to marry. A man and a woman. That's what Jesus said. Folks, they're anti-human. That's what they are. They're anti-human.
Well, don't you think that people have a right to love whoever they want?
No, I don't. I love my dog, but it's a little bit different than my loving my wife. I love everybody here at work. I love you too. But I don't love another man in that way. Not that sick, disgusting way. And that's what it is.
Well, Tex, you're just intolerant.
Yes, I am intolerant. The Bible says so.
Well, you can't say the Bible says so anymore. That's not acceptable. It's
still acceptable with me, friends. How about you?
It's still acceptable.
Well, the very reverend. Now, anybody that goes by a title, the very reverend, you know it's not going to end up good, is it? Well, the very Reverend Gary Hall is the new dean of the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. I've been there. It's in my book, Mysterious Monuments. Now, they have all kind of strange devil sculpture on the National Monument. The National Cathedral. They have a National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. They do. A National Cathedral. They always have an Episcopal in charge of it. I don't know why. But they have an Episcopal. Well, the very Reverend Gary Hall, the new dean of the National Cathedral in Washington, has been calling for gun control, new gun laws, and he wants us to accept same-sex marriage. Why don't they just close up that den of evil, the National Cathedral? There can be no good place called the National Cathedral. There is no national church. God is not involved in politics. And when people get involved in religious subjects like same-sex marriage, and yes, even gun control, you know, even Jesus' disciples went out and bought swords.
You say, well, I didn't know that was in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. They were afraid for their safety and they went out and bought, I think, 4 swords. You know what Jesus told them? It's enough. That's enough. Yeah. Why would he, there's a message there. Maybe the message is it's okay to defend yourself. Now, Jesus himself chose to go to the cross. He did. He chose to go to the cross. He sacrificed himself for you and me. Think about that. But his disciples went and bought weapons. They were out in the desert. They were out unprotected. They came back. They said, we had enough money to buy 4, Master. And Jesus said, it's enough. Isn't that something? Now, the National Cathedral has also announced that it will begin allowing lesbian and homosexual wedding ceremonies. Friends, the gays don't want to marry each other. They want to destroy marriage. And the very reverend, Gary Hall, is helping them in their little plot. You know, I get this newsletter from a pastor named Kimball. It's pretty good, too. It's called Kimball's Trumpet Blasts. I get a lot of newsletters like this, and I really appreciate Brother Kimball sending me this. He said, well, we always expected this day would come eventually. And what more would you expect, says Pastor Kimball, from a church that has a bust of Darth Vader on its outside surface? And it does. You go there and get your set of binoculars and look way up on the side of the building. And along with bats and devils and, you know, all kind of horrible creatures, you'll see Darth Vader. They started to modernize the bad guys. What's Darth Vader doing on a church building? Well, why not? It's the National Cathedral. It's a wicked place anyway. Now, if you want to know what wicked is, I'm going to tell you now. Now, I tell you, I'm just so angry about this. I'm angry. And you must be too. Listen to this. The Pentagon has confirmed. They've hired a consultant. Yes, Barack Obama has hired a consultant working at the Pentagon. This is too much. His name is Mikey Weinstein. I wonder what race he is. I wonder what religion Mr. Weinstein is. Oh, he's Jewish. Oh. He's head of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Now, what's that got to do with you? What is Mr. Weinstein, head of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation? He's been hired and given a lot of money to start policing all of the military services. What are they going to police? The Pentagon. The Pentagon has now ruled that soldiers, airmen, the Coast Guard, Marines, the Army, may not share their Christian faith. And if they attempt to do so, it will be a court-martial offense. Say what? Folks, I spent 20 years in the U.S. Air Force for this. I spent 20 years to protect constitutional freedom of religion for this. I may have wasted my time. I may have blown 20 years of my life for this. The Pentagon has released a statement saying that soldiers should be prosecuted for promoting their faith. It said religious proselytization is not permitted within the Department of Defense. And court martials and non-judicial punishments will be decided on such offenses. Now, all this is the actions of this guy that Obama has monstrously hired. Now, this Weinstein, this Jew guy, says that even chaplains in the military service, Southern Baptist, Lutheran, Episcopal, it doesn't matter. If they share the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're guilty of, get this. This is amazing. By the way, this is put out by Judicial Watch, a very respectable legal group. Chaplains, if they share the gospel of Jesus Christ, even in wartime conditions, even to wounded soldiers, they will be guilty of treason. Can you just see the chaplain in the foxhole under heavy enemy fire? And the young soldier says, what does God have to say? How can I know Jesus Christ is Lord? And the chaplain says, oh, let's not talk about that. I can't talk to you about that. I'd be guilty of treason. And says Weinstein, they'll be guilty. This is incredible. They will be guilty of committing an act of quote unquote spiritual rape. spiritual rape. It will be as serious a crime as sexual assault. They are enemies of the Constitution. If you tell somebody about Jesus, if you're in the dormitory in the barracks and you're all sitting around talking about things, somebody says something and, what about your religion? What are you, Jack? Well, I'm a Christian because I believe, you know, in Jesus. Uh-oh. He said the name Jesus. The next day they can go to the commander and get the guy court-martialed. He said it. He told us about Jesus. It would happen in the barracks last night while we were all sitting around. He's guilty of treason. Just as serious a crime as sex assault. He spiritually raped those other guys. This makes it a crime to tell people about Jesus. Or for that matter, about Buddha. Or Allah. Now, I don't care if people want to try to tell me about Allah or Buddha. Or they tell me about anybody. But I want the right to tell them about Jesus. I don't limit anybody's religious rights. It's freedom of religion, folks. This is incredible. This cannot stand. Folks, tell your congressman, tell your senator, you will not allow the Pentagon to hire this donkey-headed monster, Mikey, M-I-K-E-Y, Weinstein, W-E-I-N-S-T-E-I-N. You will not allow this monstrous guy to come up, he says, I'm going to be policing this. We're going to be looking for people who violate this. Well, I'm looking for your head, Mr. Weinstein. It's got to go. Now, I mean that figuratively, as you know, folks. But he needs to be fired. He needs to be fired. Don't look him up and hurt the guy. Don't damage him. Do get him fired. But it's Barack Obama that needs to be impeached over this. I read once again Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the greatest writer of the 20th century. He gave a speech before he died. You know, he spent over 10 years in the Soviet gulag, their concentration camps. The communists put him there. He said, one time when I was still a child, I recall hearing a number of old people offer the following explanation for the great disasters that had befallen Russia. Men have forgotten God. That's why all this has happened. When he was just a child, he heard old people say that. Men have forgotten God. That's why all these bad things have happened to Russia. That's why the communists came and took over our country. That's why so many of us have been sent to the gulags. Men have forgotten God. And in this speech, right before he died, he gave this several years actually before he died. He says, but if I were asked today to formulate as concisely as possible the main cause of the ruinous revolution, the communist revolution, that swallowed up some 60 million of our people, I could not put it more accurately than to repeat. Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened. Mr. Weinstein has forgotten God. Barack Obama has forgotten God. You know, they had a report that one of the players of the National Basketball Association came out of the closet and announced, yeah, I'm gay. The news said the next morning, the president himself called him and congratulated him. Congratulated him. Meanwhile, an ESPN announcer said, as a Christian, I disagree with that. I disagree with homosexuality being pushed. The Chicago Tribune had a huge editorial demanding something be done to that ESPN announcer. RG3 was right, the Heisman Trophy winner. He said, it's become a tyranny. Political correctness has become a tyranny in America. We have no Bill of Rights. We have no freedoms. I read the comments section under this story about what's happening in the Pentagon, how they're going to enforce political correctness. You cannot even tell anybody about Jesus anymore. Can't even mention it. And I read down there to see what the commentators, you know, the little people out there were saying, you know how they do on the internet after an article or whatever, they'll have people to comment. One person said, I was a Marine. I served in the Marines. I kept my uniform. I was so proud of it. He said, I've taken it out of the closet. I burned it today. No young person should join the armed forces. They're not heroes. These people coming back from Iran and Afghanistan are not heroes. They went over there to fight for oil and Israel. They're not heroes. And now they can't even tell people about Jesus. I recommend everybody join a militia. Join, rather than the military, go join a militia. I think it's going to come down and we're going to have to fight our own government. George W. Bush betrayed America and now Barack Obama. And he's got 3.5 years left. If we got to get rid of him. Obamacare is a big mess. It's destroying people's lives. Meanwhile, Barack Obama's still trying to push gun control. Joe Biden said, well, the Senate voted against it. They're going to vote for it. We're going to have a vote on this year. It's going to pass. Yeah, that's what the vice president said. Meanwhile, listen to this article. Headline, Jewish groups push for immigration reform on Passover. 19 organizations got together and called for citizenship for all the millions of illegal aliens. They don't want an America. They want the Jews and Israel to be the only unique nation. We're not an exceptional nation. Just dissolve America. How do you dissolve America? By inviting millions of illegal aliens in. It is a disgrace that we had the Boston bombers come over. They came, they said, oh, we're refugees. We're escaping discrimination in our own home. If they're being discriminated against back in Russia, what did they go back there for vacation for? And we gave these two brothers from Russia, from Chechnya, actually, we've given them over $100,000 in welfare benefits since they've been here. Think of it, over $100,000 in welfare benefits. How do they repay us back? Yeah, that's immigration. You write Senator Rubio and tell him, we have immigration laws, let us enforce them. He wants the Gang of Eight, McCain, Fluke, Schumer, Rubio. We have immigration laws, let us enforce them. We don't need new laws that will give amnesty to all of these people. They want to end American sovereignty. You tell them they're not going to get it. I'm Tex Mars. It's been great being with you today, bringing you such weighty issues. Remember, folks, Jesus, he's still here. He's still alive. He's watching over all this. He'll make sure everything comes out right. You just stick close to him. And tune in each week during the same time, dear friends, and discover the power of prophecy.